Beloved, it's not going to be easy, but God never promised us that everything would be easy. But he promised he would be with us. Hence this message today. And I want to thank the pastor and Elder Baxter in extending the invitation to come. It's always good to come home. We still consider Conant Gardens home. And it's good to come and to fellowship with you. But the title of the message is today, How Long Halt Ye? How long halt ye? And at the end of this message, there will be a three-part appeal made. Number one, the first appeal will be to sinners. You know you're a sinner. You need saving. The reason that you're here is because you recognize that you have sinned and you need a Savior. And I want you to know that that Savior, Jesus Christ, is here today through the personal presence of His Holy Spirit. And we're going to invite you to become a part of the Remnant Church. Secondly, we're looking for backsliders. You're a backslider and you know it. And you need to come home. The doors are open this morning. And lastly, we're asking for every church member who has decided to be committed completely to Jesus. And you want to give yourself once again. You want to put a mark in the book of remembrance that you stood up for Jesus on February the 6th, 1988. We're going to invite you to respond to this appeal. Now, as we begin the day, we're asking you to turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, and we're going to start reading the 21st verse. We're going to read the 21st verse. 1 Kings 18, and we want to read what verse, everybody? Verse 21. And it states, "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him," what, everybody? "Not a word." Elijah was perplexed. He was looking at the children of Israel, the chosen people of God, and he was perplexed. There was idolatry in the land. Broken homes and cheated children was rampant. Divorce and fornication everywhere. There was thievery and covetousness. There was abuse of children and parents. The commandments were trampled on. And all of this by a people who professed to be commandment keepers. Elijah was perplexed. And as he sought the Lord for an answer, the Lord came to him and said, "Just go and tell Ahab, there's not going to be any rain." "What, Lord?" "Go and tell Ahab that it will not rain except at your mouth." Elijah must have been a man of faith. You see, beloved, the Bible tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He not only had a lot of faith, he must have been a righteous man. Because when he prayed, he put a lock on rain. And the earth dried up. It was decimated, almost like the plagues that hit Egypt that made it nothing but a place of sand and flies. And when he looked around for a revival, he was still perplexed. There was no rain, and the people cried out with want. He was perplexed because even though they were suffering, they had not yet repented and turned to God. So it was time for a showdown. And our texts find us at that very spot in history. I could see Elijah now as he stood on Mount Carmel. All of Israel drawn to him. There he was looking at the people so splendidly dull. Caught in a vice And yet their eyes registered no surprise. I could see him standing there dressed in the dress of prophets in those days. It was different than the high fashion. He was not walking and mincing as he went. He was dressed plainly. He ate plainly. He gave God his time as well as his tithe. And here he was looking at a people who were suffering and yet would not repent. How long halt ye between two opinions? And then he flings his arm out and they can see the whole land of Israel. If the Lord be God, follow him. Can't you see? But if Baal, and there he pointed to the effeminate homosexual 850 prophets of Baal. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. How long halt ye? He was talking to a people who were supposed to know better. A people who were called out of Egypt but had not fulfilled the high calling of their vows. They, in fact, were a people in the middle. They had monkeyitis. You know how you catch monkeys, don't you? You see, monkeys love peanuts. And to catch a monkey, all you have to do is get a trap where a monkey can put his hand in and get at the peanuts. But when he closes his fist, he cannot pull his hand out. To escape, all a monkey has to do is open his hand and let the peanuts go. So a man will take a trap and he'll hang it up in a tree and he'll put peanuts in it, and soon as he's gone, the monkeys will come. They're curious creatures, just like people. They'll run to see, what did he do now? What did he do? What's this? And when they see those peanuts, hallelujah, glory, they must have died and gone to heaven.
Yeah.
In goes the hand, it grabs the peanut, but when they try to pull it out, the bar stops them. That monkey will scream and holler. The man will hear it, but he'll continue on his way. He'll go home and get a glass of lemonade. He'll read the newspaper and maybe even study his Sabbath school lesson. Mm-hmm. Right. He'll sit there for 2 or 3 hours. And don't you know that stupid monkey will still be there when he gets back? Because he cannot make up his mind to let go of the peanuts. He wants to be free, but he won't let go. And that's the way the people were. They wanted to be saved, but they would not let go of the world. They were in the middle. On the other side, there is Elijah. On the other side, 850-1. And the people could not make up their minds. Note carefully this morning, the people were not just in the middle. They were halted in the middle. Stopped. At a standstill, with suspended activity, going nowhere, arrested by omission, do nothing. Moreover, they were crippled. They were halted. Neither good or faithful followers of God, nor yet completely hot in following the devil. They were in effect on the other side of salvation and grace and did not know it. The land was wasted, no water, yet they halted between two opinions. It was time for a decision. Time was running out. Probation was about to close. Sisters and brothers, this day we as a people are in the same boat. These are the last days. Probation is about to close. Time is running out. How long halt ye between two opinions? You ever seen a dope addict that you admired? Even those that sell dope are dopes. They get money and they look big for a while, but when you look for them, you can't find them. Why? Because the Bible states, he that get riches but not by right shall lose them, and his latter end shall be as a fool. How long halt ye between two opinions? I want you to know that this is the church of prophecy. This is the remnant church of Revelation 12, 17. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. How long halt ye between two opinions? Even though the book of Revelation identifies our church as the remnant, it also applies another name to it. In context of the seven prophetic churches, the last one before Christ returns is given the significant title of Laodicea. John, under inspiration, describes this church as a strong mixture of flesh and spirit, apparently blinded by its compromising posture. Laodicea seems unable to recognize the true nature of its nauseous, lukewarm state. Turn quickly with me to the book of Revelation, the third chapter. What book did I say, everybody? Revelation, the third chapter, and we want to start reading with verse 15. Revelation 3, starting with what verse, everybody? What does it say? I know thy what, everybody? I know thy works, that thou art neither what? Cold nor hot. I would that thou wert what, everybody? Cold or hot. So then, because thou art what? Lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will do what? Spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am what? Rich and increased with what? Goods, and have need of what? Nothing, and knowest not that thou art what, everybody? Wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Think you're doing pretty good. I'm a church member. I go to AY, I play on the basketball team, I come to the 11 o'clock hour naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the what, everybody? Fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be what? Clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. If this is the case, how long halt ye between two opinions? Revelation 3, verses 19 and 20 goes on to state, as many as I love, I rebuke, and what, everybody? Chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and do what, everybody? Knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will do what? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. The Lord said, I don't care what you've done, but if you confess and forsake your sin, I will come into you. What do you mean, Lord? I'll come inside of your body. The Bible states Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not Christ in Sabbath school. Not Christ in the Bible, but Christ in you. Somebody ought to say amen. I will come in. That's why the Bible states, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Christ dwells in you through the personal presence of the Holy Ghost. Yes, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Christ does not live in junk. Are you listening to me? He wants you. Wants to dwell in you. It is our hope of glory. He said, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Note carefully, beloved, that even though Laodicea is self-deceived and divided in her loyalty, monkeyism if you please, God pleads with her to turn back and accept his solution for all her ills. I want you to know there are only two choices. How many choices, everybody? I want you to stop right here. Now listen, beloved. Anytime God would do a work, Satan moves upon somebody to object.
Yes.
Am I right or wrong?
Amen.
Am I preaching truth today?
Yes.
Now I want you to know, please don't be disturbed with all of the moving. Just pay attention.
Amen.
See, Satan doesn't want you to get this. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
He does not want you to hear this. See, this is not Pastor Willis. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
And I did not sweat before the handful fires of the heavenly furnace to come here and to preach Philip Willis. God wants you to hear this. Don't let this pass you idly by. Now note carefully, beloved, there are only two choices. There is one heaven and one lake of fire. There's one Christ and one Satan. You are either right or you're wrong. There's only two choices. There is no middle of the road. You must get out of the middle. How long halt ye between two opinions? Let's go deeper yet. You see, beloved, Laodiceans cannot see. Are you listening to me? 2 Corinthians tell me, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind. Laodiceans cannot see. Haven't you heard? I don't see why we can't go here. I don't see why we can't do that. You can't see because you lost. And if the brethren would tell the truth, they'd tell you the reason you can't see is because you are lost. And the reason why you can't say amen is because you have no testimony. See, you can't witness to something you don't feel. The slave put it like this: every time I feel the Spirit moving in my heart, I pray. Hallelujah. The reason why the services don't mean as much as they used to, because you're not bringing a blessing when you come anyhow. You've got it backwards. Instead of bringing your blessing, you're coming to get one. Hey. Nothing going on between you and Jesus all week long? Why? Laodicea. You see, Laodiceans, because they cannot see, are incapable of discerning sin. Sin is such an ambiguous term now. You say sin all. Sin. Vague terms like sin do not really register with them. They need to have sin defined, described, and delineated. Like Nathan the prophet, who stood before the king and he shook his finger and said, "Thou art the man." John the Baptist stood before Herod and he said, "It is unlawful for you to have her." It's time for us to call sin by its right name. The minds of men and women are becoming seared as with a hot iron. The Holy Ghost is being uplifted. And amazing grace, while the Holy Spirit is being withdrawn, he's pouring it out upon his church. At Detroit Center last week, we had a lady have a vision sitting in church. I want you to know the Holy Spirit is falling, folk. And the striking thing is that it's falling on people, and folks sitting right next to them don't know that they have it. It's high time for us to get serious about the cause of God and quit playing games. I'm tired. Yeah? That fire hits you, you get active. Oh, Lord! Testimonies, Volume 1, page 181, tells us from my favorite gospel writer. You see, the spirit of prophecy, according to Revelation 19:10, are the words of Jesus. So I love the testimonies because I love Jesus. See, you have a problem with the testimonies when you have a problem with Jesus.